There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I got one thing more to say, though, before we get to the news, because there is news to get to as we get ready to head to the scouting combine, or at least I get ready to. I don't want to go either. At least you got a good excuse. You're retired. I don't enjoy it. I'm flat out willing to say it. I hate it. I hate going. I hate that week. It's exhausting. It wears you out. I have one objective on my list. Come home.
Wow.
I didn't say any of that shit.
Welcome.
Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's BFT Live. Damn. Here we are. We're here. Hey, look at that.
My
arm's a little bigger than that. Combine to-do list, come home.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, to-do list. So, I come home.
No, but you know what? Now that I'm here, it's fine.
Oh, now
I was
fine?
Dreading the trip.
Dr. Doom strikes again.
And, you know, we get into the meat grinder, but we've done it for so long now, I enjoy it. We've ripped through a bunch of interviews today, and it's fun conversations.
So why'd
it's
you
like
have to go all
else.
Negative Nancy there?
What is it? You know how I am. Yeah. I catch a mood, and I just ride it. Right?
Oh, man. We should play that for every coach we come up and interview now. Hey, Mike's thrilled to be here. Hey, look at this.
I'm happy to be here now. I reserve the right to change my mind at all times, including – I reserve the right to change my mind about my opinion on you.
Yeah, all right.
So shut up.
Well, hey, let's see. We had, 2 years ago? All right, so 3 years ago I threw up on the show. 2 years ago.
4 years ago. 4 years ago.
Oh, 4 years ago.
You didn't throw up on the show. You almost threw up on the show.
Well, I mean, kind of throw up on the show. Look at your face. You're
you
like,
just,
I don't want to look at that guy.
You
He's
just
throwing up.
Made it out of the frame.
Right, so you have that. Then was it the next
that
year?
That would explain why I don't want to come. I don't want to get thrown up on.
And then the next year was COVID, right?
The next year was COVID.
Right. And that was the year where you caught me on a hot mic for somebody going, where's Florio at? And I go, he's
afraid of
COVID. He's not here.
I gave you a hard time.
And then
you
were pissed at me for like, I was like, wait, why is Mike not talking to me for about a half hour?
Yeah, I was pissed.
He's like, well, maybe it's because of what you said.
Wasn't quite that way.
Psycho Mike again.
It was close, but it wasn't quite that.
Yeah.
So we're here.
We're here
for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Last year we were here for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it really
the schedule was different.
And that's the thing. It's a long trip and you're not here for very long and it's exhausting, but
right.
I'm happy that we're back.
Good.
Now that I'm here, it's nice to come back.
You drove here?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
you know, somebody drove you. Rich people problems. You got it.
I've not rich people problems.
Did you update
load
your
management.
Wardrobe for Howie Roseman?
No, I didn't.
No?
I don't think I did.
All right. Those kind of look like new pants. I've never seen you wear that sweater.
They are new pants.
Okay.
I don't know if the sweater's new.
Good.
What happened was I cleaned out my closet before the Super Bowl, and I found a lot of clothes that I had lost because it was just the closet was the repository of, like, just threw stuff in.
What
so there was
are you,
a stack
12?
That high.
Are you 12?
What do you mean?
I mean, what are you? You just throw crap in the closet?
Yes.
And just, I'll see it when I see it again?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like I just went shopping. I found all this stuff that was buried in the bottom of the closet for a period of months,
if
not longer.
Then you washed it, I hope, at least. Or
no.
No,
it's clean.
Oh,
it went
gosh.
In clean, it comes out clean.
All right, more evidence on why this guy needs to lay on
this
the couch
was
next
washed.
To a psychiatrist.
This was washed.
Shortly.
Because
shortly.
Of you.
Please, all
PTSD
psychiatrists, please help
from
this
from walking
guy.
Into the bathroom that somebody didn't lock, and he's sitting on the toilet. It explains all of my issues. I had the issues before, but that didn't make it any better.
Thank you.
So we are here for the next 4 days. Today, we apologize for throwing everyone off kilter because 7-9, there was no point being on 7-9.
Nobody was here.
There are plenty of people here now. We will have plenty of guests coming up. I don't want to oversell. You will see them as they arrive.
Yes.
We've already talked to people like Giants GM Joe Shane. We've talked to Titans head coach Brian Callahan.
Right.
They're getting ready to put
the list.
Started
to
put up the list of everyone we have. Like, no, they didn't. Then they heard me. It's like, maybe we shouldn't. Chargers GM Joe Ortiz and Bears GM Ryan Poles.
Right.
The man of the hour, the man of the moment.
Yes.
Everybody wants to know what he's going to do.
Right.
We talked to him for about 10 minutes. We've got some sound to play. We are ready to play it once I find what the throw is to the sound.
Pick number one, pick number nine. Justin Fields, they just changed OC. Caleb Williams out there, right? Strong quarterback class. You know, you could replace Fields if you want to.
And you
Fields
and I have both
show
said,
progress.
You and I both said,
yes.
Keep Fields.
Yeah.
Trade the pick.
Right.
Load up on more lottery tickets and move forward.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't feel that way.
Well, and let's hear some of what he said, and then you can share your analysis because it hit you harder than it hit me. But after hearing you talk about it, I agree with you. Let's hear for now Ryan Poles on how his experience with the Chiefs when they drafted Patrick Mahomes in 2017 impacts his approach and what Justin Fields, the current quarterback of the Bears, needs to improve upon. Here he is.
You want to use history. You want to use past experiences as much as possible. You can lean on that to help you make those really tough decisions. But at the same time, they're all very unique in the setup. So. But it's definitely important to kind of tap into some of those past experiences. I thought you saw some growth with his ability. Obviously, we all know he can make plays with his legs.
No doubt.
I thought you saw him extend plays and keep his eyes up and start to make plays down the field with his arm. I thought he protected his body a lot better this year.
He did.
But then continue to improve from the pocket, continue to improve in those two-minute situations. Because if we want to be a championship-caliber team, those two-minute situations are absolutely critical.
And your assessment after we spoke to Ryan Poles is that Justin Fields will be improving on those things with another team.
Yeah, that's kind of what – well, you know, taking it all into account, right? Taking the change of the offensive coordinator, right? I've watched a little Caleb Williams film, okay, that as well. You know, hearing how he's viewed through the NFL. Then we're talking about, wait, the league's close, and we're watching a guy that, you know, wins games with razor-tight margin and 15, right, Patrick Mahomes. It's so important in those categories, right? And then – he to bring that up, kind of like, hey, you still need to be better in the pocket, better in 2 minute. Those to me, again, I don't want to say Freudian slip or anything like that, but I think those are things that are honestly still in their brain, which is a little concerning when you're talking about, wait, we might have to pay this guy, he's our franchise quarterback, all of those. So I think they're kind of letting you know. So between that and then I always go back to what you've heard me say too, just where Ryan Poles came from. He came from a place that took an uppercut or a big home run swing and said, we're going with Mahomes.
Right.
And GMs usually don't want to go down with a quarterback that they didn't sign, draft, whatever, get to pick. And I think between all that, yeah, I feel like it's certainly going Caleb Williams 1 to Chicago.
When he spoke to reporters earlier, he apparently said that they want to do the right thing by Justin Fields if they trade him.
Yes.
Which could be interpreted as...
Yes.
They are going to trade.
They are going to trade.
And they are going to do the right thing. But I mean,
time sensitive is real here.
And that's a great point, too, because, look, this is tampering central.
Yeah.
This is where teams are going to talk to the agents who represent players who are about to become free agents, whether it's Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, if he doesn't stay in Tampa, other guys who might be available, Russell Wilson. I fully expect him to get cut by the Broncos. I don't care what anybody else says.
Yep.
That ship has sailed.
Agreed.
He's not going back.
No doubt.
Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get cut. There's going to be a lot of guys out there. And we see it every year. The musical chairs go, and the seats start to fill.
Exactly.
So if you're going to trade Justin Fields, you better have a deal in place before somebody pivots to Cousins, Mayfield. That's what happens when the legal tampering period starts. They get on the phone, and literally, it's like, hey, here's our offer for Kirk Cousins. We need to know. 5 minutes.
Yes.
Are you taking it or not? Because we're going to move on to the next guy.
Right.
Because the next guy might be gone.
Right.
So if you're going to get Justin Fields into that pipeline, you better do it now.
Do it now. Do it with the most seats available, right? Like what you're talking about. add to the value and get people competing for the services of Justin Fields. Yeah, we don't want to. First off, if we get 6 weeks down the road, a month down the road, whatever, not only are you going to lose certain people within who you could trade Justin Fields to because they're going to move on and fill those seats with the guys you mentioned, but then also it's going to lower the trade value of Justin Fields. Yeah, because, yeah, there's not as many, you know, seats open, but also it's going to get to, like, hey, oh, what are you going to do? Have Justin Fields and Caleb Williams in the locker room? Tell me how that works. DJ Moore is going to be telling, I want Justin Fields my quarterback, and now Caleb Williams is in there.
It did work with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes in the locker room.
Yeah, it does, but I don't think that's going to happen here. I think this is a little different altogether, and I think the writing was on the wall here. This is one where Justin Fields is, he's not ready, the writing on the wall. He's like, wait, I'm about to hit my prime. I'm not giving it up for anybody, right? So there's a little difference there in that situation. And yes, I think that polls and the fact that he was part of Kansas City and taking Mahomes, this is the guy that probably is the closest thing we've seen to Mahomes since he's come out in the draft as far as the way he throws and moves. A lot of similarities, maybe just not as big as Mahomes. I would be shocked. I did my pod yesterday. You know, my dad last week, he kind of was like, hey, I watched some of the quarterbacks and, you know, oh, Caleb Williams, right? So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to watch tomorrow. And I kind of dug in a little bit. And I'm not ready to make rankings or anything, right? But one of the things I said on my pod yesterday is it after watching 70, 80 throws, it's Caleb Williams and the rest. Right. That would be where I would say. It makes it kind of unfun for my quarterback rankings. But I think it's that's one. And then we'll figure out who's 2, 3, 4, 5.
Zach Wilson out there, you're going to take the flyer on this.
No, you had to bring that up.
We have more things in common than people would realize, right. But you want to be different than everybody else in what you analyze and what you conclude. So I think you're kind of hoping to find somebody where you see something that others don't see it. That's why I say that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, well, I think I look
That's
at
why
it
you think it's boring that it's Caleb Williams and everybody else. You want somebody else.
Well, I think it's always fun to the whole month of the lead up of who's this but and who's that in the conversation.
I think you want to, and I think, and I'm trying to compliment you here.
Yeah.
You want to spot something that others have missed.
I
you want to be able
that.
To say, this is what I see in this guy, and this guy's going to be better. Just like with Mahomes.
Right.
Like if your buddy Kyle Shanahan would have listened to you 7 years ago, he might have 3 or 4 rings right now. Right?
Right. I was trying to say the same things with C.J. Stroud, which was fun last year because I had him in a tier by himself, and hey, there was a lot of conversation about the other guys. I feel like as we go longer in this process, there's going to be less conversation. This is going to be a Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray year where we're just like, they're number one. Let's move on and let's try to figure out the order of the rest of these guys.
And here's the thing, too. If you're the Bears and you're deciding to keep the pick, you're not deciding to keep the pick because you want to keep the pick. You're deciding to keep the pick because you've decided on the player. You've decided on Caleb Williams. And when he talked about Tyson Bagent and the thing that impressed him about Tyson Bagent, when he comes into the facility and he's around the veterans, he's got a calm to him. That's great, but how do you know that Caleb Williams is going to do that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get your homework done on Caleb Williams at the time when you're ready to pull the trigger on a Justin Fields trade?
Yeah, right.
That's the other side of this, that you really got to thread that needle just right if you're the Bears.
Yeah, they definitely do. Now, I would think this is one where it's been on their radar for a while. We've known about Caleb. I would think they have a pretty good feel and, you know, information base already on what he is. Now, the last piece of the puzzle, and I would bet you it's being expedited a little in Chicago as compared to most years, is they're probably having coaches right now going, we need the quarterback answers now, like now, right? I think in the perfect world, the Bears would probably like to make this decision within the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
I do. I think that, you know, as you laid it out, right?
Got
these people talking here.
Other teams that might be interested in Justin Fields are going to move on.
Exactly right. So the time is now, and that's where I feel like it's probably a little bit expedited. But, yeah, there's some unknown. We know there's some risks there, but I would think this is one where we've seen Caleb Williams coming down the tracks for a while. They got a lot of info on him.
We'll get a chance to eyeball Caleb Williams later this week. Friday is quarterback day. We hope to have him on the program. I think he's scheduled to be on.
Yep.
So I don't want to say anything that would get him to change his mind. But if you're the Bears, you got to do the deep dive. You got to go into all the crevices. You got to get all the questions answered.
I think
answered.
That's the big
thing. You
know,
there were a couple of times where he didn't talk to the media after games.
That's the,
how do we draw, if poise is important,
right.
If that's what has Tyson Bagent on the upswing, same thing Joe Shane told us about Tommy DeVito, my compadre, my paisano.
Yeah.
Poise.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you know that Caleb Williams is a guy that's going to hold it together when he's not having a good day?
Right.
We've seen that, and you and I love studying quarterback demeanor. Yeah. How can we feel comfortable, and you're going to put more pressure on him? You know, that's what I say about the first overall pick.
That's right.
If you, it's one thing to be the first overall pick. It's another thing to be the first overall pick, and they traded away a guy that we still don't know how good he's going to be. Oh, and you're going to be compared to him.
Yeah.
Whatever he does, wherever he goes, it's apples to apples because that's the guy the Bears could have kept. And Drake May. And Jaden Daniels. So it's a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams.
I think those are the big – those are the things that I hear from the NFL community that is being flushed out, right? The talent, I think, is – it's undeniable, right? It's the way he moves. He's got as many platform throws and sidearm things as a Mahomes does, right? His arm power and strength are crazy awesome, elite, right? So all of that's there. I think the thing you're alluding to is still the thing people are still trying to figure out about Caleb
Williams.
And
it's pretty important.
Not talking to the media like you said, right? And some of the carelessness with the football towards the end of the year. Now, I look at that, and again, I haven't deep dived this yet, so I don't want to speak too much into it. But I saw enough on TV and watched enough on Sunday this week, this past weekend, to go, hey, yeah, it got a little crazy, but damn, they weren't very good.
Yeah.
Their offensive system isn't that great. Their defense was historically bad. Historically. So it got a little into what you and I talk about a lot of times, like Josh Allen mode, where he's like, hey, I got to kind of do everything, right? Yeah. And that led to some bad habits and things like that. So I think those are the two things that are a little bit unfinished business, right. I think, when it comes to Caleb Williams.
What do you do when you're having a bad day? How do you respond when you're having a bad day? Do you dig your way out of it, or do you just give into it? Those are things that you don't know.
No.
You don't know. And that's why it's a big decision for the Bears.
The scouting, the regional scout, right, the guy that has relationships with the weight coach, the trainers, you know, the equipment people, that's where those relationships really come handy in the NFL, right? Because some of these teams have guys that they've been doing the Southern California for the last 30 years, and they know these guys that are around these schools to get their little tidbits of info, and that will
be critical,
right?
Critical to our existence today is flexibility and fluidity, because next we have Buccaneers general manager Jason Light, somebody we didn't expect to have. That's why I didn't want to show you the list. We don't know who we're going to have. We're going to have Jason Light next here on PFT Live. Tuesday edition of PFT Live here at the Indiana Convention Center, where so much is happening today and so much will be happening the rest of the week. Today, coaches and general managers taking the podium and making the rounds. Joining us now, a guy who has been the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 10 years. The two-time defending, is it two or three-time defending?
Dirty, that's right. Defending. Rub it in, baby.
Get it right, Florio. Three-time defending, NFC South champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jason Light. Jason, welcome back. How are you?
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me on.
Always, man.
This past year, I mean, this was the year that was supposed to be the regression. This was supposed to be the letdown. It has to be even more satisfying. You know, they say only one team's happy at the end of the year. You guys had to be happy. You get to the final eight, and you give the Lions everything they can handle.
Yeah, as you reflect on it, you're happy. At the time, you know, it takes a couple weeks after the last loss.
Yeah,
but as you reflect back on it, it was an awesome job. Everybody involved in the organization just did a tremendous job. We had to take an unprecedented, you know, dead money hit and take a quarterback that really was out there and
nobody wanted him.
Well, he wanted to come to the Bucs, so that was great. So.
But what did you see that everybody else missed?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Bruce, who's one of my best friends and I still talk to, you know, often, he has always been a big Baker fan.
Yeah, sure.
And
Bruce knows QBs.
Oh, before he took the Bucs job, he said there was one job he would come back for. It was the Browns job when Baker Mayfield was the quarterback.
So he's always been in my ear. He's been in Todd's ear. Todd actually really liked Baker when he went through the process in that draft with the Jets. And then they ended up with Darnold. But got to know Baker very well, and they kind of had a relationship whenever we played against him. So it was, you know, there was some love for him internally, and I think that was a good spot for him to go to. So because of that, so people wanted him.
Yeah, you alluded to it a little bit, the Brady thing, right? I mean, the dead cap money, all that went along with it. I mean, talk about, you know, we didn't expect anything. The post-Brady recalibration, right? you know, kind of allude on that and kind of how you had to deal with that in your organization?
Well, it was a lot of players that, you know, that we're paying the price for, and I'd do it all again. It was great.
It was worth it.
A bull parade is something else. You know, and it's tough for a quarterback to step in Brady's shoes.
Yeah, right.
It's you know, after he left, after winning the Super Bowl, and Baker wasn't afraid to do it. We still had a lot of good players, though. We had Levante, we have Tristan, we have
Antoine Winfield.
And so we still had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. So he circled us as a place. This is where I'm going to bet on myself and I can revive my career, and he sure did.
Did you guys feel like a little bit of a chip on your shoulder because everybody counts Kennedy out? Like, oh, the GOAT's not here, so the Bucks are going to fall off Earth.
I think everybody did, yeah. I think it's kind of what drove us a little bit this year. So I'm hoping there's some naysayers. I'm hoping to hear you guys say that we're going to stink again.
I ask that you're going to stink again. I asked this question. No, but you're not. I asked this question knowing that candor is going to be difficult, but I can't help but wonder, organizationally and for you personally, was there a sense after the 2022 season that it's time to move past Tom? Tom's leaving. Tom's retiring. But we're fine with that. It's time to turn the page. We got our Super Bowl, and it's time.
I don't know if it's with a player like Tom, if you ever say you're fine with it. I think you come to the we knew that there was going to be a time and that this was going to end. So, and then when that time came, we're going to have to just look forward, not back. So, and that's what we did.
Did you know when it became Baker's team off of that? Like, was there a spot this year somewhere in the season? Early in the year, it was kind of, oh, we got off to a good start. Then it hit a little lull, right? Was there a moment?
I think it happened early. So he and Kyle Trask were actually battling. It was a good battle during camp.
Yeah.
There were some times when Kyle was ahead of him, in my opinion. And then Baker, at the very end, separated himself with that last couple preseason games.
What was it? Was there a moment that gave him the edge?
He just made more plays,
yeah,
is what it was.
Right.
But you still didn't know if this was going to be his team. And then it was the Vikings game, the first game of the year.
Yeah. Dropping the shoulder,
you know, having the toughness, being the tone setter, which you don't want your quarterback to necessarily be, but in our case it was him, and the team just kind of rallied around him.
Right. Now, you got some big decisions to make, right? You got Baker. Right, where does that stand? Baker, Mike Evans, Antoine Winfield Jr. If you don't mind, just kind of discuss those a little bit without giving up too much.
Give up all you want. don't dissuade him.
I've given
that juice before we started
me,
for a reason.
Not him.
Well, we want them all back.
Yeah.
So, and we're talking to their representatives currently right now, and we'll continue to do that this week and next week, and hopefully. Get them all back. So,
do you say to Winfield's agent, you know, your guy wasn't a Pro Bowler, so that really counts against him?
No, I don't think we can use that.
Until they answer back, wait, did you see this guy was a Pro Bowler? So you got to reevaluate that.
There were a couple times this year in the locker room after the games. I mean, he had several good games, but I look at him and I go, I know. And he'd say, yeah, I know too.
Yeah.
He knows he's a good player.
But you know, Mike Evans is always, to me, one of these enigmas out there. I think guys who watch football on a regular basis, you know, nerds like me who are watching film, we appreciate him. But, like, in the national media, it feels like he's underrated, right? Now, I know he's getting up there in age here at this point. But, like, what would be your assessment on why he's a little flying under the radar as one of the great receivers of all time?
You know, you can say the same thing a little bit. I feel like in Tampa, sometimes we're a little underappreciated.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes along with the chip on our shoulder.
Right.
You can say the same thing about Levante. You know, I think Levante's, if you look at his numbers, he's up there Hall of Fame-worthy numbers.
Right.
Especially if he plays another year.
Yeah.
And, but Mike, I don't know, it just goes under the radar. But he is, man, he's one of the best players in our franchise's history. He's unprecedented in a lot of ways, and I mean, I just can't see life without Mike Evans. So I'm hoping, praying at night that he gets something done.
He's less diva-ish, it feels like, maybe, than top-tier receivers.
It's unselfish.
Right.
Unselfish, selfless.
Right.
There was a time when we were, you know, a few years ago when we were trying to get Chris Godwin done, and he was like, hey, take money from me.
I know. That's incredible.
He's but now it's time to pay him his respect. He's a great player, and we're hoping to get all these guys back.
Yeah. Is part of the objective try to get one or two done so you can hold the tag for whoever you don't get the deal done with?
Well, I mean, ideally, we'd like to not use the tag and get them all done. But, you know, it's just we're trying to chip away one at a time. Well, one at a time, but at the same time.
Well, you got, like, the young talent on the team, right, that you kind of talked about. Who, anybody surprise you that jumped out there, you know, as far as guys this year that kind of popped on the scene where you might not have been expecting this kind of performance this early on in their career?
Well, I'll say one rookie that really did
was Yaya. I knew you were going
to
say that.
I think he's got a chance to be really special. So does our first-round pick, Kalijah.
Right.
But Yaya is just as big and strong and powerful and athletic as he is. We got a steal in the third round. I mean, we got lucky to get him there.
He was like one of the guys last year that came here that was a freak show, and he turned it on. You were like, oh, my gosh, he's got muscles in his ears, right?
Right. And 1 year of production really in college. Right. So it was
a little bit of a projection for you.
A little bit of a projection, and he's got a chance to be really something.
And did a lot without playing a lot this year, like under 50% of the snaps, I think, defensively.
Didn't start till, you know, first seven games. There's a lot to be excited about with him and Kalijah.
Yeah,
so.
Kalijah, undersized, right? How do you kind of stomach that? Like, you know, we know usually smaller D tackles other than Aaron Donald don't work, right? So what kind of finally put you over the edge with him to go, you know what, let's do it. It's time to draft this guy.
Well, I think we kind of hope that he can become pretty close to Aaron Donald.
That's what you want.
Good problem to have.
Right. Definitely.
So with Baker, franchise tags available, obviously. You can only use one. Do you feel like he would not react well to the franchise tag, and he feels like he deserves a reward for what he did last year? Do you have like a psychological, like, because he's the center of the team, he's the quarterback, is that part of the thought process for you, that using it could be problematic to the relationship in some way?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, where he would stand with that. I do know this, that we and our owners have always been conscious of, we want to make sure that, of course, an organization wants to do the best deal that it can so it can sign as many players as they can and all that, but we also want to make sure that they're happy with their deal. So I think there's a little bit of a psychological element there with the quarterback.
Right.
You want to make sure, you don't want the quarterback to think that you're...
You don't want to be in the locker room being angry or like, right, God, they're screwing me over.
Right.
Right.
So I think that goes with a lot of players, a player like Mike Evans as well.
Yeah, sure.
Well, your fans should be very happy. 10 years on the job, a Super Bowl win at a time when you got the Patriots floating around and Patrick Mahomes floating around. You got that one Super Bowl win, and you're moving in the right direction. We appreciate some of your time. We wish you all the best this week and beyond. Jason Light, Buccaneers GM. We'll be back with Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel next here on PFT Live.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Home isn't just a place, it's a state of mind. Like curling up in a comfy chair while it's cold outside. With a warm drink, or maybe even a wine in hand. As you watch the world go by outside your window.
Mmm, short rib.
Good afternoon, this is your captain speaking.
Which is why at Delta, our people do our best to make you feel at home. Refill? Long before you get there. Delta, keep climbing.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
You're the best dressed coach. You came in here looking like Johnny Miami with great outfit. I just don't see any coaches like that. So I was going to go, oh, man, this guy, look at him, Miami, coach's money. That's what I was coming in with.
Can't hide money.
That's right.
Not trying to.
That was great last year.
You guys have upgraded your attire in here.
What do you mean upgraded?
Have I rubbed up?
I'm in the same grade.
We're just trying to keep up, baby.
Right?
We're trying to keep up.
Him. Yes.
No, there's more starch involved in your shirt right now.
I cleaned out my closet, and I found all the stuff that was buried under all the other clothes.
That's what he does to look cool.
That's how I go shopping.
Right. Right.
Oh, dude, yeah. So you get retro looks.
Exactly.
Organically.
Wait, like... I don't care. It's year two. You're not hiding money still.
Year three.
As we see, year three. Excuse me, you're still not hiding money.
No.
I mean, your getup's pretty cool. I'm not even gonna lie. Like you're definitely the best dressed guy here. You got a cool watch, and I want you to lift up your footwear. Like your footwear is pretty special. He's got like little gold studs on these things. Like
that's because I'm a part-time bedazzler.
Yeah.
No, they came with the shoes.
Are you like online, like shopping, or are you going to the store shopping?
Mostly online.
Online.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really, you know, I don't have social media, and I don't really surf the internet that much.
Right.
So that's
randomly. That's your one time you go on to check that stuff out.
Check out some clothes.
Film and clothes.
Shoes.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you there.
I feel like I know you better than I do because I watched every episode of Hard Knocks, and I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. But for you, did you love it?
And I like you a lot less now.
Did you love it?
Huh?
Wait. No. No.
It sounded like you were setting it up, by the way.
No.
I like you a lot, and the show was great.
My question is, like, for you, I don't think you really, like, how long did it take you to accept that this is your reality from that point in the season when you come off your bye week all the way through to the playoffs?
Well, most of that was done before it was announced when I caught wind that we were going to do it. But, you know, I try, as a life philosophy, I try not to swim against current.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Pick your battles?
Well, things that I can't change, like, am I just going to complain about it? Or, are we going to do kind of just move forward as best you can? Well, you know, obviously it was something that, on the front end of it, you're a little nervous about a lot of different things and the residuals. But I had time to kind of internalize some of those issues. And then, so at some point, hey, it doesn't matter how we feel, we're going to do it. Well, I did think, I forced myself to find some positivity even before it started.
Gotcha.
And what I was excited about,
the
optimism, was that there's a lot of things that are unseen in regard to the organization, to what really goes on, how hard people are working, the orchestration of an NFL franchise.
Sure.
And in our particular situation, I think our entire organization is littered with more than just competency, with really, really good people taking their jobs very serious. So, and to see the journeys and how tight the team was, I didn't mind that being unveiled. And so that was a positive. It was, it's burdensome on me, but, much of, no one cares about that. So I couldn't either. Being mic'd up all the time is a little weird.
Yeah, it's annoying. I'm going to say it for you. I'd have been annoyed as the quarterback. I'd have been annoyed. I mean, there's nothing you can do, but it's just like, damn, there's a camera in the room. They were moving around while you're watching film.
They're going to play clips of them trying to get out of play for 20
good
years.
Good guy. You're trying to speak pop. I know it. You're a football guy.
Well, at the same time, I really liked that there's people that, from our equipment staff all the way up to players and different personalities on the team that make, that make the Dolphins go.
Yeah.
I didn't mind having
that shown a little.
And that exposed.
I
was pumped about that. It is a weird, what people don't realize is when you're mic'd up for an NFL practice
right.
or an NFL game, there's like a camera devoted to you.
To you only, right.
The entire time.
Right.
Which is never expressed.
Yeah.
I just kind of pieced it together. I was like, wait.
I know. They caught you hitting the vape pen, and it was all over
Dude,
from there.
Well, I mean, who knows if I have a booger in my nose because I can't pick it.
You're right. You're right. There's a lot of tough things there.
Yeah.
You're right.
You were saying before that you're trying to take some time to learn what you can from last season. Mm-hmm. What have you learned, all things considered, from last season? Great regular season. Got to the playoffs. We know how it ended. Open air Sub-Zero in Kansas City. What are you learning from that?
You learn so much from things that are tough. in the present. You learn so much from, you know, that the season did not end the way we envisioned at all. Our expectations were much higher than that. But the same way you wouldn't want to get comfortable if you won the Super Bowl when you fall short, I think it's so important to take a step back and really assess, you know, the state of the union. I think it's been a really cool start of 2024 for the Miami Dolphins because, you know, I'm really confident and excited about that assessment, you know, and taking all the things that we were successful with, identifying those, yeah. not really saying, oh, we're good at something and we're bad at this. Let's assess everything.
Yeah.
Let's assess on a clear platform, okay, and establish what has worked.
Right.
What hasn't.
Right.
And you get a lot of clarity and a lot of, you know, motivation to move forward. So there is a lot of lessons, particularly for me, you know, starting year three as a head coach is a completely different process than year one or two.
Right.
Specifically with the off season and how to go about that. So, you know, excited to press forward and take the things that we feel as though we're good at,
right,
and improve those things to make them even better, and then hitting right between the eyes the things that we weren't good at, and fixing that. So that's a healthy way to live, a healthy way to attack a job, and I feel like we have the people in place to go do that.
Okay, all right. I'm glad you went that way because we talk about you all the time. You're the greatest.
All the time?
All the time.
Never doubt. We talk about you all the time.
Yeah, you know
your
me.
Ears
I'm
should
not
be
a
burning
bullshitter.
All the time.
All the time. We talk about you all the time, and especially when it comes to offense. You're arguably the most innovative offensive coach in football right
He's
now.
He's never said that before.
Bullshit. All right. But, all right. Either way.
Yes.
Right? Well, I want to, like, where are you... What do you want to say? What do you want to say?
Assessing
what
the honesty
comments?
And transparency.
Right.
With these. I'm taking the time to believe.
You know
what
me
you're
long
he
enough
has,
to know.
He has said it.
But,
he believes
and I appreciate that. Thank
but,
you.
But where do you learn new things? Where do you reinvent? Where do you look to add ideas? Like, where does it come from? Because I love watching your offense and what you do.
You know, I think you're hitting on an important point that. For me, I'm trying to do my job to the best of my ability
yeah.
at all times. And I think part of doing your job is to never have any sort of complacency whatsoever in any facet of it. To always assess and always, you know, to embrace the fact that you're fallible and the enjoyment of identifying and correcting and improving, that's the name of the game. So for me, you know, I'm not looking as a self-serving entity to have new ideas so that these guys that like me will talk even more about me.
Yeah, I know you're not. I know you're not. I know you.
However, you always have different problems to solve. For me, I'm never closing my mind off to new ideas and new directions. I'm more...
Are you a stealer, or do you come up with it, right? Like, that's where... Because I see you do a lot of stuff,
well,
and I go, whoa.
Well, inherently...
McDaniel's the first one I saw do that, and then people steal your stuff.
Yeah,
I know you steal some from Kyle.
I have a tough time saying I've invented anything, inherently.
Yeah.
Because the forward pass, the handoff... These are all things that were inherited, right? So anything that we come up with is a derivative of that. So for me, I have a tough time not acknowledging, you know, everything that's put me, my understanding of football that puts me in a position to possibly do something that's a part of it, maybe the formation, maybe the motions, unique, but you know, I did not invent timing motions at the snap. I did not invent motions in general. and I did not invent the forward pass. So, right. like, you know, I don't look at it that way. It's like trying to you're ultimately trying to put the opponent at a disadvantage through an uncertainty in football.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, maybe – and you're trying to take and master an execution of certain fundamentals and techniques in a collaborative way. But you're trying to gain that advantage. So new things, doing things in a different manner, that's inherent to what – you know, the lens that I've always looked at things through, something that – you know, all the guys that I've worked with, we've all done together at one point in time. But, you know, I don't see that evolution ever stopping. I think the second that you stop evolving, yeah. you've lost your competitive advantage, right. and then you're like everybody else. So it comes from evaluation. Sometimes you're watching a jet motion on run plays.
Yeah.
Okay? 2018.
Right.
Watching Rashard Penny with San Diego State.
Okay. Yeah.
Playing Air Force.
Running back, first rounder.
And right. and for the first time, you saw kind of a fake jet sweep
right.
motion for a receiver. Pass.
Yeah.
Be snapped on one side of the, let's say on the right guard.
Right.
And then with the flow of the jet sweep, we saw an outside zone that
right.
San Diego State was running against Air Force, which to us planted a seed of influencing second level defense.
Gotcha.
And then 2018 against the Detroit Lions, we came out in week one or two, first
right.
home game.
Right.
And first had a run, whether it was to the right or to the left, go the same direction as the fake jet sweep. That was out of doing evaluation for
College draft.
You know, so that happens. You're doing the same thing in free agency. That can occur. You're practicing in phase two or phase three of off season, and something happens.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know,
somebody makes a mistake, and you go, wait, that actually was open. Like, let me figure that out.
The outward motion that was something that we utilized this year, that's a derivative of a guy moving late in the snap on one play, and then just kind of thinking through, well, what if we time that up? You know, those types of things.
Gotcha.
So it's a, you know, I think you have to have a situation where you have like-minded individuals thirsting from a coaching staff perspective of chasing the new. And you have to have players that are entrusting in their coaches to try stuff that inherently will fail the first time you try it.
Right, right.
What are you challenging yourself to do as a coach this year, entering year three, to get farther than you have the first 2 years?
You know, I think the first challenge is to truly identify with removing emotion, trying to identify variables that contributed to what would be called the pattern in terms of 2 years in a row, we started out 7-3, and we're 9-3 year one, 9-3 this year, and the end of the season ended in a loss, like everybody that isn't the Super Bowl champions. However, what can we learn from that? Not an overreaction. Okay, well, you know, we're getting to really assess, and you learn a lot of things that are good and bad about your program when you do that. I think that healthy assessment is so vital, whether you win, lose, or draw. But doing it in the scope of, you know, there's a lot of people that really were hurt by the unmet expectations that we all had. Okay, well, that doesn't mean it's a waste. It means it's a... how can you take last season and the season before and take what you've learned and make sure you're not falling short in the same manner? Make sure if there is a pattern. And what you learn it is to be even more convicted in the things that you were previously convicted on, and then different ways that we can kind of, you know, really... really prepare ourselves for the long haul and continue that state of evolution that you need to be your best when your best is required down the stretch.
Yeah,
I think there is a process of for all teams that ultimately accomplish the goal that everyone has. Super Bowl champions have to learn the hard way, generally.
Right.
Where you think you're capable of accomplishing it. You have everything, what you think to be everything on the line, and you fall short. That is an inherent thing that is shared for all championship teams. And that's something that we have gone through where our expectations weren't met. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm very happy with the core of individuals in the locker room and the coaching staff that we have in place to be able to take the journey, take all that hardship and utilize it for future goals and gains. And that's kind of where I see us at, because I think we have the people with the mental fortitude
right.
to take those lessons and make sure they are done not in vain.
I got a lot of questions I want to ask you. I don't know how much time we have for you, right? So that's where I'm a little. I know. You're a busy guy. You probably, got to get a new pair of shoes or something.
That's the only thing I got going on.
Defense.
Uh-huh.
Like, what do defenses do to mess you up with all your motions and all? Like, I feel like when I watch you guys, defenses try things that they don't do on other offenses because they're like, wait, we can't stop all the things that McDaniels does. So we got to try some things that are outside the box. Like, right? There was things when I played for Gruden where they did certain things on defense. Oh. And I was like, man, this isn't good for our system.
Right.
What do defenses do to kind of screw with you?
Well, it's something that's an evolving process because you're forecasting the unknown. That's what I've learned specifically with...
Forecasting the unknown. That's a good phrase, yeah.
Because we, this was not, the elements that teams most fear from a defensive perspective when playing us, those elements weren't something that I was necessarily anybody was versed in. I didn't have experience having Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle on the same offense.
Right.
So you don't really know
how they're going
to
play.
The pattern is that, that seems to move the needle in their preparation the most, that speed on the outside, and that you have to be prepared to have a different presentation on game day than that defense has done, up until that point in the season.
Right.
And being able to problem solve that, getting used to the way guys kind of direct that week of practice, having players get used to executing a game plan that's kind of blind to a degree that you find out in the first quarter. That's what we've gotten comfortable with. And the different manifestations, there's been people that have put pre-snap and post-snap guys in different positions that we haven't seen. Defenders going five across the board, pre-snap and stuff.
Right.
Ultimately, they've just played a version of maybe their two-shell defense that they minor in, that they major in with us. Regardless, bottom line is teams will do whatever they have to do to whatever they're doing, they're trying to force execution.
Yeah, right.
They're trying to force less big plays, you to execute more often. So you're finding different ways that you're stressed in execution points and trying to make sure that the unseen version of Tampa 2 is a new rep for us. How do we coach through that so everybody can see it the same way?
Right.
Oh, the emphasis on extra reroutes is new for us. All these things, it will always be a new version of it, but you're just learning how to play a little blind, so to speak, and rely on your knowns of your scheme, which is something that you have to do in the offseason.
Right.
This is great insight, and when you said forecasting the unknown, it made me think of the old Mike Tyson quote, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth.
Yeah.
Do you think that your team needs a little bit more of that hit in the mouth, a little bit more of that physicality, that toughness, that grit, that stuff that Dan Campbell talks about? Mm-hmm. Is there a marriage maybe of what you do with a little bit more just badass in your face? Do you feel like you need some of that?
I think that's part of the growth of a football team. You know, I think on the door to the practice field, you know, we have three phrases that kind of surmises what we want done out on the practice field: fast, physical, elite technique. Okay, how to play fast, how to play physical, and how to play with elite technique. I see is the way we play football. I see what you're talking about. There's always room to grow in this physical sport that you're literally just trying to move an oddly shaped ball down the field in a collective manner or prevent it to be moved down the field. All that I do think, to answer your question, that is something that I don't think we're necessarily void of, but can we get better at that? Absolutely. I think that's something that you're always trying to empower your players and emphasize, and the better you get, the more convicted you get in whatever scheme you're running, the more you're able to employ that, because by nature, players want to be physical. At this, more often than not, there's more physical players than there are not physical players, right, in this State of the Union, which is the National Football League. The guys that have gotten good in football aren't adverse to contact. Rather, they flourish in it. Yeah. So I think that's a natural evolution that I would expect to happen, to take place this year.
Well, this has been excellent. We appreciate you visiting with us every year here at the Combine. You have
to go. To
you have to go to the podium.
We can answer you
We
more.
Could go instead.
You want to tell the podium?
I don't think
out?
They'd like our answers
I
on your behalf.
I want to ask about overtime kickoff. I mean, we
let's shut the program down. You guys can go front row. We'll just continue this and podium.
Overtime postseason. You win the toss. Do you kick? Do you receive? Do you defer? What do you do?
Man, there are... Whoa, okay.
We don't have enough time.
Bro.
I know.
I mean, I would probably do the thing that would best give us a chance to win the game. Oh, what is that? There's compounding variables.
There is compounding variables. There is.
All right, thank you so much.
No problem.
We'll be back with more from the Combine. He is Mike McDaniel. We'll be right back.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.